Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, all. Good afternoon. Hope this voice finds you either in good company or at home enjoying your Sunday afternoon. We have a very unique segment on the wire this afternoon, and we bumped up tonight's program to today because, quite frankly, you never know who you're going to meet. And we have the privilege of interviewing an elder of a young man who strikes me as one who has persevered a great deal to be of service to the people. And Mr. Don Borby, our guest on today's show, is an accomplished activist of a community organizer. His experience is quite extensive. He's in his early 70s and recovering from a stroke. I find Don to be astutely keen on a number of topics, and we specifically tagged today's show with the following, because I feel that Don is most qualified and experienced with discussing the social networking elements of today's social fabric. And so we've chosen the tags Cosmic Christian, Religion Today, Politics, Risky Business, and Measure 74. Because we have been out and about networking and participating in rallies and special events, think tanks, roundtable discussions, interviews, working the phones, hamming up the live wire, and so on and so forth. We want to round out your understanding with a comprehensive overview that will help you to appreciate in many ways how this year's politic has already succeeded and exceeded our expectations in so many ways in building new bridges and catalyzing a quality of insight and activism, which is now in high gear and promising to bring about some very progressive forms of economy, of potential, pure potential, to create really an autonomous, self-generating, home-based economic reality. So, on that note, I have to digress momentarily because Don was to call in at 2:30, and he, like I said, he's recovering from a stroke, and sometimes he needs a helping hand when it comes to this whole timing bit. He's not much for mechanized time, although his sense of perception is astute, and he's always well, more often than not, in the now, and I find them to be exceptionally clear and direct, and I really appreciate that about him. He's a straight shooter. Don, I've got you on my other phone here, and we're live on the wire, but you have yet to call into the switchboard. Do you need the phone number again, sir? Okay, good, because I'm on the... Okay, we need to stay focused with our interview. Tom will have to... If Tom can't show up for the blogcast, after having committed to that, then he will have to take a back seat, and we're going to move forward. We're live on the wire right now, Don, and what I'm doing is I'm going to just keep you on the line here as I just review your employment history and what you've given me in terms of a somewhat of a mission statement. Right, I'm going to cover some of that right now. The info sheet that I have here states the obvious that you've worked with the public in more ways than one, stabilizing the challenge to remain professional and adapting to situations. Don, you're not live on the wire right now. We have to have you call in on the other line in order to hear what you're saying. But I'm just going to do this overview, and then you can call in, and we can dialogue about the details, okay? Yeah, so we've got Don on the wire, an exceptional individual and one who has put in quite a bit of time. His employment history goes back to teaching in the Northwest Military Academy in San Marino, California. He taught geography to kids fourth through eighth grades. That was back in 1958-59. And Don, just to let you know, I've already given them somewhat of an overview that you haven't heard yet. So I'm just building on that right now. That through 59 to 61, he was a psychiatric technician. And Don's here to affirm that this is an accurate. Synopsis of his background. He completed an extensive training in the state of California, 300 hours of hospital-based training, and graduated the top 2% of his class. Training included medications and care providing, working with patients, a whole host of personal hygiene type of assistance, and it looks like he spent quite a bit of time in taking good care of folks before moving on. I see here that he actually went into the restaurant business for a brief period. Actually, it was from 67 to 73. He worked as a trainer or a manager for Dairy Queen, and that's an interesting break from his history as he moved back into an administrative assistant position from 73 to 75. And apparently here he was a supervisor of a clerical unit, says chief of administrative services in the department. That was Lloyd Forrest, right? You worked underneath Lloyd Forrest, okay, in the Department of General Services. He went on to be the first Energy Commission of Northern California, and then he was later hired to be staff to Governor Jerry Brown, and then from there he went on to become a senior pastor, working for three different congregations for the Metropolitan Community Church. That's the Cosmic Christian part there, Don, that we're intrigued by. And then we have from 83 to 85, the Demonstrator of Health Products for a professional marketing group, traveling all over the U.S., did very well as a commission-based representative, and onto a photo finisher from 85 to 2004, working as for Guardian Photo, and then from 2000 for Kodak, and then from 2004 to now, he's done quite a bit of home care and care providing for himself and for others. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you now, Don, to call in on the 317 or the 347 number. That way we can bring you into the discussion and we can move on with. You're welcome. Okay. So we've got Don Borby coming on the line, and again, I found Don to be a relief in many ways because he can actually understand the risky business that goes into politicking a view. And in politicking a view, you know, we have to be ever so mindful of the belief structures that inform our society today. And that's where the religious element comes into play, because what we're exposing on the Progressive Party Blog Talk Radio is the dynamic which has been identified by the discovery of the law of time as being a artificial timing frequency deeply rooted in the Vatican's program, which is the colonization of the earth through the belief that time is money, and the advent of Christianity, which is now a corporate culture deeply entrenched in its error of perception. We're going to bring Don on, the Cosmic Christian. Okay, let's see if we can do this. Don, are you there? Okay, let's see. Don, come on in here. Let's see if we can bring him in here. It says that we're on. The caller is muted. Okay, not anymore. Don?
You can hear me now?
There we are. Hey, it was just a flip of a switch,
good.
Matt. Now, I want to Yeah, Don, I want to thank you for your patience, because you're actually the first caller I've taken on this.
I'm happy to participate in this, Jason. And I understand that you've read them my resume. And
yes, just a snapshot.
My snapshot of my resume, and I'm happy to stand up for that resume, because I left all of those various vocations, those various efforts, in good standing with all my employment. And at any rate, I'm sitting in the car here talking to you, and happy to go on with the discussion.
Well, right on, and this is the 14th segment, so I got to tell you, I'm really quite tickled to have you on the wire, and you know, it's really something to put to use the knowledge that we stash in our craniums, and you know, they say if you don't, you lose it, and I'm really feeling inspired in having. The opportunity to flush you out, sir, and you know, you never know who you're going to meet out there. So you've got to really approach people with a lot of respect, and know that each and every one of us are stars, and at that there's a great universe that unfolds. And so we met Donna.
It's been my pleasure, Jason.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
It's been my pleasure to meet you and to make your acquaintance, and I'm looking forward to ongoing association with you. You are a true blue guy, and you're the kind of quality of people that I like to interact with, and so I'm happy to continue this.
Well, great. Let's move right into it then. You know, we were talking at New Seasons when we met there. And then we started getting into, you know, the politics of the season, and, you know, just kind of scratching the surface of my passion for this measure 74, and we got into the care providing.
Right.
And talking about health.
And we just put your poster in our living room window in Milwaukee today, Jason.
Dynamite.
So we'll see what happens there in the discussions in our very conservative senior park that we live.
Well, that's sure to attract some attention.
Can you hear the rain pouring down?
No, I can't hear the rain, but this is definitely the season for it, and we had that last day 2 days ago, and that was pretty much the primer, I think, to the fall winter season, and
right.
So
it's pouring down right now on the car, and I am able to hear you though nicely. So let's continue.
So continuing on, what I want to do is we threw out the tag words for today's show, starting with a religious context. We got to go into it, Don, because a lot of people have a bad taste in their mouths when we mention religion or we use words that charge their resistance. And so
I want to discuss first of all that I am a gay man. And if you want to, after announcing that I was a gay man throughout my life in circumstances that were very difficult because I was in a hostile environment as to people viewing me in a gay context. And but at any rate, I took that stand and had lots of courage, and it caused me lots of changes and distortions. You know, I paid the price for asking and telling.
Well, come right out with it, you know, and in so doing, I can relate to what you're saying there, Don, because I'm on the forefront of a movement, and I've been through so many challenging circumstances in trying to work with it. Tell me a little bit about your work as a pastor. Let's just get right into some of one of the stories that you shared.
Okay, I'll be glad to relate to that. I was, first of all, when I first was aware that I was gay, I was 17 years old in a Christian university, a fundamentalist Christian university, and in Southern California, and I was also teaching in a military academy, 4th through 8th grades, and I was associating with very young students and being very successful with my relationship with them. Most of those, it was a boarding school, and most of them had been sent there from home. I became a substitute parent in this case. It was very powerful for me, and I became aware that I was involved with also a young man, a contemporary of mine, who was also studying for the clergy, and so. So, but I decided to be open and honest with this role, and so eventually I came out, as the saying goes, coming out, meaning I, in minority issues, often there's a closet that forms around people, especially if they have unseen or hidden facts about themselves. And in this case, a gay man often has hidden facts that he has feelings that he can't relate openly without threatening people, without people feeling threatened. And that's what happened to me. Being in a Christian university that was very anti-gay in its theology and its point of view, I was immediately condemned by people that I came out to, and so I proceeded to be honest in my life And I've done a pattern path of honesty all my life, and I'm so proud of that. And speaking of this issue of honesty, I find that most Christianity is dishonest.
Yep.
It's in my experience that the Christian church would have me stay in the closet. And this don't ask, don't tell that's so strong in the military right now, that was actually started by Bill Clinton. And I'm sorry that he did that, because it's reinforced, again, a don't ask, don't tell basis for being gay, and that you live in a closet. It's shoving people back in the closet where they should come out of. And I believe in a kind of Christianity that liberates people. It's the truth that will set you free, and we need freedom in this country, and this spirit, freedom of spirit is necessary.
Yeah.
And I have chosen the path of honesty, and I'm proud of myself for doing that.
It has caused me
a lot of jealousy and a lot of anger from people who didn't have the courage I had. Even my father said, "You don't have for you to tell me that you're gay." And my stepmother said, "You don't know how this hurts Don to have to tell you his truth and have you take that attitude." And so that's how this lived out, and I was very pleased with the interaction. My father passed away at the age of 90, and we had a very good rapport when he passed on. He said to me, I want you to meet me in the holy city, you know. And I said, I promise you I will. And he says, I want you to be close to God. And I says, why do you think I'm not close to God? I'm close to God because I tell the truth, and God loves truthful people.
Yeah,
and God loves the person I am.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you were challenged, as a priest at one time you were telling me about squaring off with death and overcoming death fear. Can you kind of put the spin on that
say that again? What was I telling you?
Well, Don, we've got 8 minutes left in the program, so I want to get down to the way that you're backing your conviction or your statement. You know, when you say that truth is love, and that truth is fellowship with the Creator, or fellowship with God, or godliness, or God presence. And I was intrigued by the story you were telling me when you were telling me about squaring off with death and overcoming death fear when you actually had a hit put out on your life for what you believed in.
Okay, yeah. Well, I went back to a church in Philadelphia. I was a pastor in Philadelphia for about 5 years, and during that time, I experienced a lot of upset around me. I took over a church that was interestingly on the board of directors was a syndicate, a small syndicate that had taken up dominance in the church, and they were using the church, trying to launder money through the small church, and I coming in again was very, very I was very strong, and I believed everything I was preaching, and I believed in the power of the gospel to transform people, but I felt that I had to have high integrity and maintain that in my role in this church. And in confronting the dishonesty in that political control coming, trying to make use, by the way, a person might question why would a small syndicate want to take over a church, and it's usually to launder money. And that's the pattern of the mafia, which used the Catholic Church in bingos throughout the country to launder their money. And it's a, a way that crime continues within the church. And it's very crime is very strong in the Catholic Church among the Mafia. The Mafia has a really strong relationship to the Catholic Church. But at any rate, I took a strong stand in that church, and it almost cost me my life. There was efforts to take me out, to get me out of the way when I said I was not going to allow a bingo to begin in the church to launder money. I was not going to allow that.
You're too squared off. My
story's complicated. Pardon?
You actually squared off with the known killer, and he was coming to take you out, and he told me that that you found the courage to stand your ground, and he had a change of heart.
Right.
Or he actually, for the first time, felt fear in approaching you.
In hindsight, I now feel that saved my life because he admired my courage. He had been able to threaten other previous pastors. They had lost 7 pastors prior to me who were threatened by these efforts, and it didn't work with me. I was coming from a conviction that I was called to be a minister, and that I was called in spite of being gay, in spite of being different than the usual pastor, and I was not going to let anyone intimidate me. And I squared off with him, and I told him, who is himself a hitman. He carried once we took a trip, and he was carrying a loaded weapon in the glove compartment of the car, and in little ways I felt threatened by him because he had been a hitman. Later on, he came to me in a counseling situation and told me he was crying, and he said he had killed several people as a hitman, and he was now feeling remorse. Well, I took it that he was trying to try another veiled threat to me, letting me know what he had done, and I could see that murderous steel eyes that as he looked at me, and I was concerned, but I also trusted God. It was overseeing me, and as I say, my story is very complicated, but it's also made me sure that I was not different than the Book of Acts in the New Testament, and also the Old and New Testaments that I believe were real, and that God was calling me for this vocation and was protecting me at every turn.
Now, Don, we've got about 2 minutes, and I just want to round out our segments where it's, you haven't heard the intro, but I did give an overview of the topic today, and now I just want to round this out. We've got about 90 seconds here, and I find that our discussions are always insightful, and it really dug the way that you pulled that court card from the tarot the other day, and now you said that you're rounding out your views with some Buddhism, and you've got some other influences that are cooking too that are rather subtle. And if there's something else you'd like to offer in the next 60 seconds to wrap up the show, then now's the time.
Well, I would like to say this one last statement, that I feel that right now our politics in the United States has become infected by a lot of deceit, and it doesn't measure up to what I feel is worthy of the great history of Christianity, for example. The story of Christ, Jesus Christ, and the history of Christianity is far greater than is now manifest in our country. And I would like to see more integrity show up in like the Republican Party, which has compromised itself to become very very Christian, and in that its form of Christianity has also combined dishonesty. I've seen a lot of dishonesty in the Republican Party, and
we can continue on. Thank you for tuning in, folks. The rest of this blog can be downloaded off the internet, but we are now live. We're now off of the wire, Don, but we can round out the program if you'll continue. Anybody that wants to access this file after the fact can do so and get this very special tidbit segment. If you want to round that out in 30 seconds to a minute, then now's the time, Don.
Okay, I'll do that. I want to see our politics become full of integrity and be more honest and more compassionate to all of the recipients. We have a lot of minorities that are hurting and suffering in this society. We started off with the Chinese, and the Chinese were building of our railroad, and the American Indian, which we as a country interacted with, and instead of showing them a path of honesty and integrity, we often showed them very discriminatory patterns of hate and discrimination, and hurt whole families. We've continued that pattern on through the blacks, of course. That slavery in the South was all related to, they interpreted the Bible as being pro-slavery, and if you're black listening to this station, you probably will not agree with me that I've talked to several blacks that didn't feel that the Christian model was pro-slavery, but it has been, and much of, it's no coincidence that the Deep South is also very fundamentalist Christian. It goes through to Texas and Oklahoma now, and I'm feel it's very disgusting that people would embrace Jesus Christ, who was a manifestation of love and compassion and caring, and would turn that into such a path of discrimination. I think that's really harmful for our country.
Indeed. You know, I want you to carry on with that train of thought. I'm going to bring in a track we call Angels Fallen, and this was recorded back in 95-96 with the Whispering Tongues. This is some music for you. If you'd like to carry on, feel free to do so, and just roll right through this this track.
Okay. I have lived a life of strong character. I'm very proud of who I am and what I've done. My mother was a very honest, truthful woman, and she brought me up to be a very compassionate Christian, and I'm proud of that quality in my life. I've taken on causes throughout my life that I will be happy, in hindsight, happy to have supported, and right now I stand against all defamation of people. I'm very pro-gay. I am pro-black. I'm pro-minorities in general. And I feel that the causes of minorities in this country have contributed to strength and character. I feel that if we follow this pattern of supporting one another in the honesty and the truth and the love, especially love, let love dominate our lives in our pattern, we will end up a healed country and strong and be a benefit to the entire world. I feel that we have if you're a Christian listening to me, I hope that you follow a very strong sense of integrity, and that you can be in all levels, and if people do business with you, that your word will be your bond. That's my been my ministry since I've for been a Christian minister. I've spent 17 years as a Christian minister, and I'm proud of that ministry.
Well, that's the way. I want to thank you for that, Don, coming through. This track here is, when we play this back, it'll hopefully be a background type of ambiance, and everything you said there is so, to me, a work of mastery and a work of art. And I want to thank you for that.
One of the things, Jason?
Yeah.
One of the things that really was a very interesting wake-up call for me was I spent 300 hours as a psychiatric technician trainee in California.
Yeah.
And I was in a hospital of 5,000 patients who were physically and mentally impaired on various levels. And I got a lot of training, actual hands-on training in this hospital. And one patient that I changed the diapers of was a hermaphrodite patient and had both genitals, both male and female, in one body. And
wow.
I just kind of stepped back and said, if this person was a person in the regular society, they would be judged by Christians who looked at this person as wrong, and they would be told they were sinful automatically only because of their body and how it was formed. And I thought that in itself is a wrong approach to Christianity. We
yeah.
should not be judging people like we do. We should not allow sexuality and gender worship to dominate our Christianity. And so I began to look at people differently, especially sexual minorities. I began to see that all this idea of us being wrong and sinful, and the connection to sinfulness coming from the church, of all things. When a pastor preaches from a pulpit such harsh kinds of teachings, then a person can sit there whose body is born the way they are, and they can be feeling judged and feeling unequal and unvalued. And that's so wrong to me.
Yeah.
That is so painful to a person, a child growing up in this kind of circumstance. And if you are such a person, I want you to know, the message I'd like you to know right now is God loves you exactly like you are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not different in any way than you are. God loves you.
That's right. This is a
and
human
that love is strong and beautiful.
That's right. That's right. That's the Mind of Light friends and family coming through to you. I want to thank you, Don, for joining the Progressive Blog Talk outreach campaign. That this is an outreach education campaign as much as it is a healing meditation. And, we say that and realized that yesterday, again today, that no matter which way this year's politic is swinging, that we've already won in so many ways. The efforts that have gone into networking and refining our views are already bearing fruit and opening new doors and creating new bridges. And so whether you vote yes or no, just get out and cast your vote and know that that there is some fruit to this year's politic, and we'll just stay focused on that new social form or that model that works, and we'll allow the earth to compost her own shit. Don, I love you. I'll be seeing you soon. We're gonna sign off.
Thanks,
Jason. Folks, and,
I love you back.
Take care.
And
we'll see you soon. Okay.
And we'll see you soon. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Be with you.